This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. This is Sharmila Ganesan together with Julia Jacobs and Lim Soo Ann. So continuing on from before that breaking news, we are still looking at recent political developments that are happening here. You know, there have been reports emerging over the weekend that Pakatan Harapan government, looks like is in trouble.
Yes.
the latest update that we had before we went on break was that the Prime Minister's office has issued a statement that Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is resigning from his post. One of the things that that has been happening over the last couple of days is that while people are reacting with anger and disappointment, it also doesn't exactly seem to come as a surprise because cracks in the ruling Pakatan coalition have been apparent for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And a large part of this seems to do with a difference in ideology, because after all, the political parties in Pakatan are very different from each other in terms of political ideology, in terms of their aims. So to look at how these differences might play a part in this state of affairs that are unfolding today, I spoke earlier to political scientist Dr. Azmil Taib from University Science Malaysia. I started by asking him what his reaction was when he heard the news last night of these troubles surfacing in Pakatan Harapan.
My initial reaction was shock. We all somewhat know that something like this might happen because all the news leading up to last night, the maneuverings. But last night it was the a blatant display of this attempt, a very public display, I would say. So I was shocked, but not completely shocked, I would say, because the political trend that we have seen for the past two years, since Pakatan Harapan took over, you can see the kind of polarization. So what we're seeing last night shouldn't come as a complete shock, even though I would think that this new coalition would at least wait until the next election.
Mm. You're right that Pakatan Harapan was already operating under very different ideologies anyway. As a coalition, they were brought together more by the common cause of taking back Putrajaya rather than a unification of ideology. Was this split almost inevitable in that sense?
I think it is, because it's somewhat to be expected when the coalition is not operating on a more higher cause, usually ideologically driven cause or agenda, I would say. So as you mentioned, the Pakatan Harapan coalition got together with the single purpose of taking over Putrajaya and getting Najib Razak out of power. So they've accomplished that, and it leaves a void. After they managed to achieve their goals, and that's what we are seeing right now. I remember almost 2 years, 1.5 years, I think it was before GE14. I was at the function with the then opposition, and I was sitting at a table with one of the high-ranking PKR officials, and asking him what are the party's plans, or even the coalition, the Pakatan Harapan's plan, after, let's say, by a slim chance, they managed to take over Putrajaya, right? Because and they say, no, our goal is actually just to win Putrajaya, and we'll. We just deal with it after we win Putrajaya. So that's the only goal that they have. And to me at the time, it was like, wow, this is just a recipe for disaster, because, it's not the kind of, you know, thing that you learn on the job. You know, I think you get a honeymoon period maybe for the first few months, and after that, you know, the people expect you to perform and to make meaningful changes, in implement all these, you know, reforms and promises that you've made in your manifesto. But it seemed like it's not really registered on your radar at the time, you know, because maybe the only focus was to take over Putrajaya. So now we're seeing what happened 2 years after they won Putrajaya, and everything is in a complete mess, in a shambles.
And the other thing that's being speculated, of course, is that this new coalition will be predominantly made up of the Malay Muslim parties. How do you think that this will affect our political landscape?
It will further polarize the society, as we're seeing right now, or as we have experienced in the past 2 years. Because you can see this polarization between predominantly, mainly Muslims and non-Muslims. You can see ethno-religious issues being played up almost, you know, every month, I would say, even, you know, the frequency of this, you know, ethno-religious issues being used and manipulated by these groups. So I think what this new coalition will do is just to further widen the divide between Muslims and non-Muslims, and then make it into a more a formal political arrangement instead of right now, you know, that's happening outside of the government. So what the way I see it is, if this new coalition comes to fruition, it will be more like the BN 2.0, because you have the Malay Muslim at the top, and then you have the non-Muslim coalition partners that are underneath, right? So as of right now, you have the MCA, MIC, Gerakan, and then maybe you have the GPS coalition and maybe the Sabah Warisan. So I think that's what this new coalition aims to be, to emulate the former BN government, which I believe they think, you know, that's the formula that works in the Malaysian context. In my opinion, I don't think this coalition is this, I guess, soon to be formed coalition, Pakatan National, or Muafakat National, whatever you want to call it. I don't think it will last, or it can sustain itself. I mean, it will be faced with the same problem that the Pakatan Harapan government is facing right now. Mainly ideological, because the inclusion of PAS, you know, with in this new coalition, because that in itself would turn off political parties from Borneo, right, from GPS, especially non-Muslims who don't agree with PAS's agenda of Hudud and other Islamization, you know, programs. So that alone, I don't think it can be, this coalition can be sustained. But of course, you know, both PAS and GPS, you know, the government party Sarawak, both claim to be kingmakers. I guess they can be the kingmaker in this sense, because, I mean, PAS holds 18 seats, and then GPS holds another 20 or 27 seats, something like that. So definitely, this new coalition needs either one, or ideally both, you know, to be part of it in order to have the majority. And then to take over the government, but as of now, it's really difficult to see how all this ideologically disparate parties can work together or even come to an agreement. So especially if, I don't think it's sustainable. You know, I mean, election time, you know, I'm sure they will disintegrate and dissolve, you know, because of these ideological differences.
That was political scientist Dr. Azmil Taib from University Science Malaysia talking about the ideological differences between Pakatan Harapan and how it might well have led to the situation that we're facing today.
That's right.
And we do have some news updates that have occurred in the last hour.
Last hour. So from a statement, we have seen that 11 members of parliament from Parti Keadilan Rakyat, they have decided to leave Keadilan and Pakatan Harapan to quote-unquote membentuk sebuah blok Bebasti Parlimen. Mm. So those people are YB Datuk Seri Muhammad Azmin Ali, YB Puan Hajah Zuraida Kamarudin, YB Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah, YB Barubian, YB Datuk Kamarudin Jaffar, YB Datuk Mansur Othman, YB Datuk Rashid Hasnon, YB Datuk Seri Dr. Santara Kuma, YB Ali Biju, YB Mili Mongin and YB Jonathan Yassin. And also earlier we got news that Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has also given in his resignation letter, or has sent the letter to the palace. That's still breaking news. We're waiting to find out more and we will keep you updated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we do need to take a quick break, but we will be back with more updates as and when they develop. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.